From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. For the Veterans Day holiday, we explore the opportunities and challenges veterans face in finding work in the private sector upon their departure from military service. With 1.5 million veterans, Florida is home to the third largest population of vets in the country. We take a closer look at local efforts to increase the veteran employment rate in a state that bills itself as the most veteran-friendly in the nation. Plus, a conversation with the South Florida Water Management District's new executive director. Attorney Pete Antonacci now heads a vast organization responsible for the state's water across 16 counties. He came in after a summer where the board defied state political goals before reversing course. We're also joined by the district's governing board member, Mitch Hutchcraft. We'll talk about his past work, goals for the district, and the events leading up to his appointment. First, this news.
Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Topher Forges. Pete Antonacci is the new executive director of the South Florida Water Management District. He enters the role at a time when the district is facing tough financial questions. Spending is expected to increase, staff size has decreased, and the district is dipping into its reserves. Antonacci also moved into the position following a controversial summer where the district's board members voted not to reduce a certain tax. Governor Rick Scott's office told outlets like the Palm Beach Post that he was disappointed with the decision. Soon after, the board reversed and rolled back the tax. What followed was the departure of the board's executive director and chief of staff. The board, which is appointed by the governor, installed Antonacci in September. Antonacci has served as general counsel for the governor. He also served on the Northwest Florida Water Management Board from 2005 to 2012. Antonacci's name popped up in state news earlier this year for the role he played in the controversial firing of a state agency head. Pete Antonacci came to WGCU's studio to discuss his plans for the district. We were also joined by South Florida Water Management District Governing Board Member Mitch Hutchcraft. And you can share your thoughts on the South Florida Water Management District and the issues facing the region by commenting on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, tweeting at us at WGCU, and commenting under the show's headline at WGCU.org/Gulf Coast Live. What follows is a taped conversation that has been edited for time. Pete Antonacci, Mitch Hutchcraft, thank you both for joining me in the studio.
It's good to be here.
Good afternoon.
Pete, you were a board member for the Northwest Florida Water Management District. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience and what experiences from that you'll be bringing to the South Florida Water Management District?
We're dealing with the same law. We're dealing with the same general area of policy, but the order of magnitude is much different. In South Florida, we have 8.1 million people that live within the district boundaries. In North Florida, where I was on the board for almost 6 years, probably just a little under a million. So the problems that we have here in South Florida are historic and large. The issues that they have in North Florida are modest. They have a wealth of water in most of the district. So it's a familiar territory, but on a much larger scale.
You said that some of the problems that are facing Southwest Florida are historic. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, let me clarify on that and say that the problems facing the district are historic. And if you imagine the shape of Florida as a peninsula and imagine it as running from Fort Pierce to Fort Myers, just through Lake Okeechobee, all the way south, and with a long tongue that extends from Lake Okeechobee all the way to Orlando. That's the geographic district because that is the traditional drainage of the Everglades. Southwest Florida is part of that. But many of the problems that that we have on the East Coast are different than the problems that we have on the West Coast.
And what are those problems?
On the West Coast, I would say that the biggest challenge is making sure that we get water to where it needs to be when we need it, because often water is where it's not supposed to be when we don't need it there or not at all. So what the projects that we tend to support and deal with are projects that store water. We're working on a very large project right now to store water, and also projects that help move water through the natural flow, primarily in this part of Southwest Florida, to hydrate the Caloosahatchee when the Caloosahatchee requires it, and in other seasons, the inverse.
And the storage is C-43?
C-43 is the big public storage area that's being constructed right now. But there are several other smaller storage projects that are on private lands, and they are part of the package of what's needed to help have the water when we need it.
So along those lines, as you move into this role, what's your focus as executive director? What's at the top of your priority list?
Get projects done. We have a menu of projects that are just extremely important for the responsibility of the board, which is primarily flood control. And after that, water quality. And after that, water supply. So those three areas are our essential mission. Water supply retention is critical to all three.
The way you complete those projects is by funding, obviously. Funding has been a challenge with the board, especially with this budget. The board decided to dip into its reserves for this budget. The spending plan in July, it looked as if there's no money left in the reserves after that, once it's used now. Do you agree with the choice to use those reserves?
I wasn't here when the decisions were made, and they're always subject to board review. The board is has the ultimate say-so. On the issue of reserves, going back to 2010, there was a practice that generally is not supportable in the larger world, which is to collect taxpayers' money without a specific plan to spend it, or spending it later on without knowing when it was going to be spent. So in 2010, the district had about $900 million in reserves, and over the past 4 years, the district has been spending down that reserve. Much of the spend down depends on the status of either projects and when the money is needed, or undertakings of one kind or another that may not be project specific but are project support kinds of undertakings. So as I look at the budget, it looks to me like there is sufficient reserve to carry us through two fiscal years, maybe more, depending on the frugality of the board.
Well, I was curious about that too, because I was wondering if you're also nervous about new works costs, because I saw board projections said that they're expected to roughly double by fiscal year 2020, and then without those reserves or with the lessening of the reserves, it's kind of a question. I know this is always a question for the board: is how will you be able to make up those new works costs?
Right. Think of it like this: that projects, particularly the large projects, are legislatively funded, and it takes quite a while to come online. Both the C-43 and C-44 projects, it may be 3-plus years before they actually come online, before those reservoirs are tested and then filled and then operate the way they're designed to operate. So you have a pipeline of money, and the pipeline has to stay full in order to complete the projects. But you don't necessarily have to start a project if you have no plan, sufficient plan to fund it in the future. Right now on our big projects, 43 and 44, those are ones that we know we have money for because we have, I think, firm legislative commitments going forward.
the legislative session is about to happen. What are your legislative priorities?
Fun projects.
How does that work in terms of, I think I saw the, for fiscal year 2016, state appropriations fundings are looking at $126 million.
That's right.
And then the approved budget is $749 million.
There's some more money in there as well for this part of that 749 that is land acquisitions. The Department of Environmental Protection has requested about $27 million in land acquisitions as well. So that's part of our overall request this year, and we're hoping that we walk away with about $30 million more than we obtained from the legislature last year.
My guest is Pete Antonacci. He's the new executive director of the South Florida Water Management District. We're also joined by Mitch Hutchcraft. He's a member of the district's governing board. And you can share your thoughts on the South Florida Water Management District and the issues facing the region by commenting on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, tweeting at us at WGCU, and commenting under the show's headline at WGCU.org/Gulf Coast Live. This position has had four directors since 2011. It's not a position people have stayed long in. Why do you think that is?
It's a hard job.
How so? In your first month that you've been doing this?
Yeah, this is the beginning of my second month, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be part of it. Anytime you have a government position, certainly where you're responsible for other people, in a democratic society where you have to contend with forces that are far beyond your influence, your ability to influence, it's demanding. It commands your resources. I've had occasion to speak with former executive directors, and although they enjoyed their time in service, they were happy to be doing other things.
And why take this gig?
Have you been talking to my family? It's a challenge. Okay. And I've been drawn to challenges in my lifetime. And I'm from South Florida.
Where in South Florida?
In Hialeah. And Immaculate Conception School in Hialeah. The story of the Water Management District is a historic fascination. I wish people knew more about it and how we got to where we are and how it is that Congress decided to spend billions of dollars to make South Florida habitable. It's a wonderful story. People have written pieces of it along the way. Maybe I'll write a piece of it at some point in the future.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Pete Antonacci. He's the new executive director of the South Florida Water Management District. We're also joined by Mitch Hutchcraft. He's a member of the district's governing board. And you can share your thoughts on the South Florida Water Management District and the issues facing the region by commenting on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, tweeting at us at WGCU, and commenting under the show's headline at WGCU.org/Gulf Coast Live. And you mentioned the former executive directors. Your predecessors include a marine biologist, an engineer. You spent time in Tallahassee serving as general counsel for Governor Scott and as a lobbyist. What skill sets do you bring to this position that you think from your past that you think will make you an effective executive director?
Well, you left out that there were two lawyers as well in that group of prior executive directors. I think the skill set requires judgment, steadiness, as much intelligence as you can muster on any day, and the willingness to want to lead men and women to accomplish public objectives.
And how did you end up with this position?
When I'm given the opportunity, I jumped at the opportunity.
So did you get a phone call or?
I had the opportunity and it was welcome.
One of the other challenges the management district is facing is that over the last 5 years, it's lost somewhere around 500 employees, including contractors. What sort of problem does that present for the management district, and how do you keep others from leaving?
You live within your means. You're right. At one point, there were about 1,900 employees, and now there are about 1,400 employees. We're still doing our job every day. There has been no diminution in service. There has been a willingness on the staff to take on greater responsibility. That's all to the credit of the people that work there. I think you have to continue to reimagine how an agency functions. You're not doing a good job. And the agency could look different in 5 years than it does today.
Does living within your means mean that at some point the district overextended itself?
The district has a history going back into the 1980s of having the very unique circumstance of being able to assess ad valorem tax and to be living in one of the most rich areas in the country. South Florida, both coasts have fabulously rich real estate. So you begin assessing modest amounts of ad valorem rates and you bring in large amounts of money. Back 20 years ago, the Water Management District had a fleet of airplanes. And those excesses got us into trouble because public perception of public entities with airplanes just doesn't fit very well.
And you mentioned ad valorem taxes, and I want to talk about there was a shakeup over the summer about the board initially not wanting to raise a certain tax. In July, they voted no. Papers reported political pressure from state leaders and the governor. The board came back and voted yes to reduce that tax. At the first meeting where they voted no, they said the tax would provide a $21 million boost to help plug a $7 million deficit. Do you think that cutting the tax rate was the right thing to do?
Commissioner Hushcraft was there.
I think the conversation that we had during that budget meeting was to look out long term, to make sure that we had adequate funding to ensure that we could do our core mission and build projects. And so it was not a discussion about the 2016 budget. We had plenty of resources. We had adequate resources to address the 2016 budget. It was more of a conversation about we have big projects that we need to build. We have $13 billion worth of infrastructure that we need to maintain. And how are we going to get that done? So the question was not, do we need to raise taxes? Do we need to cut taxes? It was about we have to have a conversation within the district and with our partners in Tallahassee about what is the scope of our mission, what's the priority of our mission, and how do we right-size the budget to get those things done. And I think that the result of those votes is that we are having that conversation. We've had very meaningful, productive discussions within the district about priorities with our federal partners, our state partners. And I think the outcome is we've now got a better handle on the five-year plan. How do we make sure we keep everything moving forward and do it within the budgetary constraints that we have? So the perception that it was a critical, we've got to do X or Y for the 2016 vote, I don't think that was what the conversation was about.
So I wonder that if you're trying to – it would have maintained that tax rate of I think it was $3 per a household of like 100,000 or something.
Correct.
To that effect. If you're trying to fulfill that deficit and you have that immediate $21 million, why not maintain that tax rate as opposed to rolling it back? And also if that can go towards funding projects.
Again, we have funding sources from a variety of different avenues. So we get some that's allocated by the legislature, some that's ad valorem, some that we get through the federal government. So the $21 million and our deficit, there was about a $7 million difference there. Part of that was bonuses and for employees. Those were decisions that the board made. And again, it wasn't a decision about we need $21 million for this year. We had adequate resources to get done what we needed to do for the 2016 budget. It was about do we need to start raising ad valorem revenues now so that we've got the money that we need in 2017, 2018 to do the maintenance. And I think that the conversation was how do we get that done? It could have been through ad valorem. It could have been through do we need to shift the debt service that the district is currently paying? Does that debt service get shifted to the state and the state pick up the debt service, which would have freed up $38 million? And so those are the kinds of conversations that are meaningful and productive and help ensure that we can accomplish the goals that we need to get done.
And I know that you've said in the budget meeting that you know the projects are funded this year. The South Florida Water Management Board has managed to fund the 2016 projects the fiscal year.
Correct.
The question is how do you find that funding in the subsequent years? And I wonder if that tax rate will be a part of the conversation. Is it part of the conversation?
I think to Pete's point is we've got a great message. We have important projects that are critical to the environment, critical to provide flood protection and water supply. We need to be very clear about what are our priorities. And so there's a tendency sometimes for the district to take on too much, for the focus to get too spread. And that's part of the revisioning that Pete's talking about is we need to be very clear about these are the top three, the top five projects that we're going to get done because those are mission critical. And so I think our job as policy setters on the board is to say, let's filter out the distractions. These are the core projects, and those are the ones that we're funding first. And if we are short on revenue, then there are other projects that won't get done. But our number one priority is finishing projects and finishing prioritized projects.
Going back to that tax rate over the summer, given how the board conflicted with the governor's priorities, then reversed, and the following departure of the board's chief of staff, Dan DeLisi, and your predecessor, Blake Guillory, soon after, media outlets see those actions or they've speculated that they're connected. Can either of you tell me about their departure or what role political pressure might have played in that?
No.
My guest is Pete Antonacci. He's the new executive director of the South Florida Water Management District. We're also joined by Mitch Hutchcraft. He's a member of the district's governing board. And you can share your thoughts on the South Florida Water Management District and the issues facing the region by commenting on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, tweeting at us at WGCU, and commenting under the show's headline at WGCU.org/Gulf Coast Live.
Pete, you sought guidance from the state's ethics commission regarding your wife's business. She's a lawyer. She has a firm that has clients who have business before the board. Can you tell me a little bit about that decision to seek that guidance and then the subsequent ruling?
Happy to. My spouse is one of the founders of her law firm. But she is now an employee and is working on her retirement at some point in the next few years. So she is downsizing her work. There was an issue raised in a media outlet about conflicts between my position and her law firm. I was surprised to see the issue because in my public life as Deputy Attorney General of Florida, I had many occasions to be involved in legal issues that my wife's law firm was involved in representing private clients. Likewise, as general counsel to Governor Scott, my wife's law firm was advocating positions before the governor's office that I participated in, and the issue of conflict was never raised. And the issue of conflict was never raised because no one ever questioned my independence and my willingness to take positions consistent with those of my client. The attorney general in one case, the governor in another. So I was surprised that the issue was raised. I can read the statute. I knew there was no conflict, but my opinion would not have been worth much. So going to the entity that is responsible for such things was the right thing to do, and they ruled consistent with the statute as I read it, that there is no conflict.
Is there anything I should have asked you guys that I didn't?
One of the things that I think is important to understand is the district's involvement with the local community to make sure that we get the water right. And so it's a long-term strategy. Obviously, there's a lot of work to be done, and some people want to see that done faster. But I think if you reach out to the folks on Sanibel, Lee County Natural Resources, the commissioners, they'll recognize that we are working very collaboratively to make sure that we get the water policy right. And, you know, there was an issue where we started releasing water that the Corps actually is releasing water out of Lake Okeechobee. And the some of the media outlets, here we go again, all these releases. The reality was that was a very beneficial thing from an environmental perspective, that we need to have water flow in the Caloosahatchee. And so going from 4,000 CFS to 146 is a problem. And if we can maintain a lower amount of flow in the, you know, 800 plus, that's beneficial. And so coordinating with the local communities to make sure that we're getting the water right within the operating schedule for Lake Okeechobee, that's important. And so for people to get a full understanding of the system, it's a challenging system, but we're working very collaboratively with Southwest Florida to make sure that we're doing it right.
It's one of the biggest water challenges in the world. The Dutch government sends engineers to our offices in West Palm Beach to consult with our engineers about how we do it, because they're very interested in how we do it. We've been, not to brag because I wasn't there, but to brag on Mitch a little bit and his predecessors, we've done an incredible job in making Florida habitable. And even the Dutch, who live in a place that is constantly sucking water out and sending it to tide, are fascinated by the job that this entity has done over the years.
I was going to ask what they're looking at when they come over here.
They're looking at the engineering part of it, the technical part of it. I don't know that there's a lot in common between the two land masses, but there is a lot in common with taking water from one place and putting it into another. Our system is designed to work on gravity, but along the way, as pointed out, we've got to have pump stations that lift water from one elevation to another. And so the Dutch are very interested in that because they have to do a lot of that lifting of water and putting it from one place or another. And so we regard them as our colleagues, but we think we do a better job.
Pete Antonacci, Mitch Hutchcraft, thank you both for speaking with me today.
Appreciate My pleasure. It.
Pete Antonacci is the Executive Director of the South Florida Water Management District. Mitch Hutchcraft is Governing Board Member for the South Florida Water Management District. Continue sharing your thoughts on the South Florida Water Management District and the issues facing the region by commenting on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, tweeting at us at WGCU, and commenting under the show's headline at WGCU.org/Gulf Coast Live. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. I would like to thank my producer, Richard Chinqui. Have a great afternoon.